And so, John, to go back and talk again about the sales, the difference between the two of you, you know, the Richard selling in a bygone era, and you're selling then to try and keep the factory afloat. So did it become frustrating and hard, you know, when you were trying to sell and the factory wasn't, you know, everything seemed to be going against it?
Well, the business was going quite well, and I suppose here in Ireland we were probably insulated to a large degree because we didn't have a huge input of foreign papers coming into the country. So where Dick was selling to the local merchants here, you know, he was looking after the local requirements, but all of the Irish printers would buy Irish paper in preference, and they would deal with the Irish merchants would buy from Swiftbrook and then from subsequently from Clondalkin for the products that they produced.
Yes,
but products that Swiftbrook or Clondalkin didn't make, the foreign mills would come in and sell those products here. I'm talking about papers like coated papers used for book and magazine production, carbonless paper, which was used for duplicate books, etc. Clondalkin and Swiftbrook didn't make those, so that's where the foreign mills came in.
Yeah,
but it was a trade here that was fairly well protected, and I think there was an ethos there that, you know, you buy Irish paper, so that's what the local merchants did. And you know, we got a huge amount of support from our local customers.
You said you were there right up to the end. Now, so did you stay in the same position?
No, well, as I said, I started off in the standards office and then moved into export sales. And when I went in there, I went in as an assistant. And eventually then I took over the export sales role.
Yes. And what happened towards the end? What were you doing?
Running the export sales.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
And was it was there any possibility at all of keeping it afloat?
In hindsight, no. No, because as I said to you earlier, the European mills were far superior. They were 10, 20 times bigger than Clondalkin with a fraction of the workforce, you know, because they were so highly automated. I think at the end there was an attempt by a Canadian company to start the paper mill again, which they did. I think it was a company called Friedman McCormick.
FMI.
Yeah, and they took the paper mill over, and I think they did a deal with the Irish government on taxes and discounts and what have you.
And were you there too, Richard, at that time?
I was, yes.
Yeah.
Made a great mess of it.
Why?
Well, for starters, I believe that the furnish for the paper was much too rich altogether. They were putting in the best of stuff in. Didn't try to save any money at all. I don't know whether I should say this or not, but quite honestly, what was said at the time that the trade purposely thrown the thing down. Seamus Ronan, so he was the Irishman with him, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, they did.
They explain that now again to me.
The workers seemed to think, well, maybe workers would think something like that, but the workers seemed to think that these people come in and their main purpose was to run the job down, because, you see, they made a lot of this paper and they made it too rich altogether. Too good. Paper was too good. And what did they do? They exported it off to Canada.
Yeah.
They took it as waste and exported. Remember that, John?
Mm.
They sent it off to Canada. The best of stuff. As waste paper. Whether that had any adverse effect on the cloth, the placement, I don't know, but the government wouldn't give any more money anyway when they heard what this was going on. Like, they got a lot of money from the government at that time.
But surely somebody would have known that and would have stood up and said, you know, you can't do this. This isn't paying. This won't work.
I'm sure they did, but whether they were listened to or not, I don't know. But I think some of the people in the right place did listen to them, the government. They said no more money and that's it. That closed the mill.
Were you sorry to see it closing?
I thought it was the greatest thing, the worst thing that ever happened. It was terrible. I thought Dundalk was a great place, great job.
Brilliant.
It was, yeah.
Great job, plenty of employment, everybody happy.
Yeah.
When it closed, there were about 650 people working there. But it's like every Irish company, their entire families worked in it. You know, you had brothers, sisters, mothers and fathers. And, you know, when it closed, there were families that were absolutely destroyed because the entire family was thrown out of work.
Yeah.
You know, it was devastating.
It must be said also, John, that at that time, the workers had to take a certain amount of blame, especially the shop stewards. Mm. At the negotiations, from what we heard, we weren't sitting in, you only were told what came out, that they stood firm on what they wanted, they wouldn't budge. I don't know whether that's true or not, Tommy, you might know more.
Well, it's a very contentious issue about the closing of the mill.
Yeah.
But I know that the shop stewards, I know there's one particular man, well, he expressed his opinion, everyone knew where he stood. But there were others, no one knew where they stood, but we heard afterwards that it didn't help the workers anyway during the negotiations, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
There was just one thing, John, I want to say to you. I remember in the old, in Swiftbrook, in the earlier days, the Irish paper mills were guarded, I would say, by a subsidy. If you were bringing in paper from foreign, you had to pay a tax or a subsidy on it, which meant that you had to use Irish paper. Well, or pay much more for the stuff that you were bringing in. They were looked after in that. I remember Swiftbrook closing at one time for 6 weeks because the government removed the subsidy. And Hosbrook closed the mill. He said, if I'm not getting the subsidy, I'm not making the paper.
When you moved down to Clondalkin, did you find it that a huge change, or did you just fit in to your new job?
I was very lucky insofar as the people I moved in to work with in the sales office, Frank Duff, Lord Reston, Dick Barrett, a few more lads. They were great lads to work for, and we just went together. You think we were there all our lives together. I had no difficulty whatsoever in slotting into Clondalkin. Because I was selling what I was selling before anyway. It was just I was at a different desk in a different location.
Yes, yes. And the people that worked with you, that sales room, if you like, or that
I was accepted.
Yeah, yes.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we might have said at that time, Tommy, that we were superior to Clondalkin because we made finer paper.
Yeah, there was a bit that of was snobbery, always, that bit was of snobbery
always,
attached to them.
That was always a contention. You see, that we were the prime. We used to make the prime stuff.
Yeah.
I remember when I was moving down, the boss man. He says, you're going to Dock and Dick. I said, I am, Mr. Hosbrook. Yes. You have no problem getting on down there. He says, you can tell them a few things down there about making paper. I couldn't tell them anything about making paper because I was never involved in it, just for a short while as a bartender.
When the Canadian company took over, you were saying that it was difficult.
They're very nice people. They were nearly too nice, you know. To me, and to a few of the time, all they wanted to do was, they wanted information. They were picking your brain all the time, like, you know, and should we do this, should we do that? It wasn't that they'd done what we suggested they should do, but we kept telling them, like, that the paper was too, you know...
Too rich.
Too rich altogether. Swiftbrook Bond was probably the main runner of any paper that we ever made, Clondalkin or Swiftbrook.
Yes.
And they ruined the brand, they ruined it. Destroyed it. We had to rebuild confidence back in that paper again after about 6 months. Whatever they're doing with the furnish, you know.
I see,
but,
yes.
But as I say, people said at the time that they were just purposely, they got a lot of money from the government. They were put the money in and they were making paper, but they were shipping the paper to Canada.
Yeah.
They weren't selling it locally. They weren't selling it to Canada, they were getting it for nothing. Well, they were buying it as waste paper, which was probably for nothing, Tom.
That's absolutely terrible, isn't it?
And the local man, Seamus Rountree, he was National Paper Merchants, wasn't it?
That's right.
Sandwich Street.
Yeah.
He was one of the biggest chancers that I ever came across, anyway. He was a millionaire, but that's how we got it. I have to say the truth. He's probably dead and gone. I'm not doing him any harm.
Right. But John Swiftbrook does still continue, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. I think production of paper in Swiftbrook ceased in about 1971-72. Clondalkin took all the products from Swiftbrook and started to produce them in the mill in Clondalkin. But Clondalkin paper mills dealt with printers of all sizes, large and small. So in 1977 they decided that they would change that, and they would only deal with a printer who was able to buy 3 tons of a mixed load. So you could have any amount of items, but you had to buy 3 tons. So to supply the smaller printers who weren't able to buy that volume of paper, they set Swiftbrook up as a paper merchant.
I see.
Yes. So we operated from 77 back in the old paper mill in Swiftbrook. The premises were still there. As Dick said, there was also a plastic bag factory using part of a company called British Plastics. And Swiftbrook then became a paper merchant, and we grew and grew into what we are today. We're still part of Clondalkin Group, but we service printers and stationers, converters, all over the island.
Well, it's fantastic to see it still going there, and John Sexton, thank you very much for telling me your story. Well, and Richard Farley, thank you
for
your story too.
I should have had a better prepared for you, but...
No, I really appreciate it. This is a great contribution. Thank you.
Good, that is how you're more than welcome.
Thank you.